Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr, and you are listening to Fiber Talk, that twice weekly podcast for people who make the fine art with the needle and thread. And I was going to play with needles and stab ground cloth, but our guest is Vonna Pfeiffer, and, you know, I got to be upbeat. So there we are. Hi, Vonna.
Hi, Gary.
Vonna, okay, so you took the job at the quilt store.
Yes.
And you become a quilting fanatic. So how big at payday, how big of a check are you writing back to the store?
Probably twice. Twice what I make.
Every time I see you put up a project, that she's not making any money working at that store.
Absolutely none. I'm paying them to work there.
Yep. Yeah. I smelled that. Yeah. Yeah. Well, worse things could happen.
That's true.
Yeah. So that's become a real thing for you, though. Is it a release? Is it just like kind of a complete diversion?
Well, you know, when I started this, I think shortly after I kind of said that I was going to quilt, I had come on the show and you talked to me about it then and was like, what are you going to like completely replace cross stitch? And, you know, I think that that's one of the things that, you know, I hate to call them fans, but, you know, because that makes me seem so much more than what I truly am. I'm just a housewife with a cross stitch. You know, I cross stitch and now I quilt. But to be honest with you, I will never, ever love quilting as much as I love cross stitch. And cross stitch is my go-to thing. I love cross stitch. But quilting is a nice break from cross all things needlework, because my whole life is wrapped up in needlework now with my, you know, at-home business and my, you know, hobby and things like that. So it's just kind of, yes, a nice mental break from thinking cross stitch all the time or needlework all the time or finishing all the time. And finishing has been a large part of my all the time here this year. So it is a nice break. And to be honest with you, quilting is much faster than cross stitch. You can get a finished, you know, project much quicker than you can cross stitch. So I do like it for those reasons. I will never love it and embrace it the way I've embraced and loved cross stitch, but you know, it's a nice diversion. So, and I like it.
No, that's what I was thinking. Cause that's the thing that, we talked when we were doing the Reef Aquarium podcast long ago now. There was a guy we had as a guest frequently, and he worked at a place, Foster and Smith, that still works there as far as I know. And he dealt with marine fish all day long. And the question was, you know, do you have an aquarium at home? And his response was always automatic. No way. I need to get away. I need a break. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, and as I've watched this quilting thing evolve, you know, I've had that same thought for you, is that and this guy absolutely loved marine fish. I mean, he's an expert. He lives and breathes it. But it's, you know, at some point you just have to step away from it. I've had a sense that that's what this was doing for you, was giving you a chance to create something, to make something, use your sewing skills, and just get a diversion. Yeah.
Right. It is. And it is a, quilting has a lot of math involved with it, a lot of, you know, geometry and, you know, it's just a different way to think than the way it is to think, to do cross stitch or needlework. And, so I really enjoy it for that. I have totally fallen down the rabbit hole with quilting. I freely admit that. I love it, and I love it in a different way, but in a similar way. I'm a maker. That's what it comes down to. I'm just a maker.
Yeah, that really is it, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes. I'm a maker, and God has greatly blessed me with many, many talents, and they're not from that. They're from Him, not from any place else. You know, people think I just like pick up stuff and I can do it, and in a lot of ways, that is true when it comes to crafting. And I, you know, like this, you know, 'tis the season here, we're getting ready for Christmas, and I taught myself how to ice cookies, and tomorrow is the big day. that we will start cutting cookies for me to ice. And that's a, you know, that's a very hands-on artistic endeavor there. And I did very little. I mean, I bought all the stuff to do it and I taught myself, and I didn't think that I would be as successful as quickly as what I was with it. And I'm not in any way tooting my own horns there. I'm just saying that it's just a God-given thing. God gave me the talent to work with my hands, and I'm very good at it. And I just pick it up easily. And I love it, and I love to make. And if I think about my life on a day-to-day basis, there is not something that I don't make or create with my hands 365 days a year. Every day I'm making or creating something with my hands. And what a blessing it is for me to be able to work in it every day.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And then as you do those different things, the skills transfer.
Yes.
Because doing cross-stitch designs and cookie designs is, you know, you start to see things, I'm sure. And,
right. It's a blank canvas, and you start, you know, either icing or using your thread and getting it to a complete project. I mean, that's what it is. And I think the reason that I'm kind of good at it is that, I mean, I have to, you know, you think about, okay, I worked really hard to get myself through college, and I paid for it on my own. And I worked my little tail off to get myself through college. And I think, you know, gosh, I'm not using any of that now, and you know, at all. But really, honestly, you know, I'm a microbiologist. I'm a scientist by career and by training. And I am using it because I am using, you know, you learn about precision and details and things like that to be a scientist. And I am still using those because I feel like I'm very precise in my finishing. I'm very precise in my quilting. I can do the mathematics, you know, I can manipulate the math to make things fit on a certain piece of linen or cut out a certain broadcloth or whatever it is. And I am using those skills just in a different way. So that makes me feel a little bit better about just totally walking away from my degree. So,
well, but that's the thing with the degree. Like my degree is biology and chemistry. I don't do any of it, and haven't for years. But I've said this about teachers, because oftentimes teachers will say, oh, I'd like to, you know, I don't know as I want to keep teaching. I'd like to try something else, but I really don't, I can't do anything else. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I've said many times, as a teacher, sit down and look at the skills that you have,
mm-hmm.
and then look at other jobs and how they might apply. And you would be absolutely amazed, because it's the same kind of thing. Scientist or teacher, you have to do all of those things to be effective at all. Organization, planning, testing, you name it. And it translates. And, mm-hmm. you know, I said that to our daughter when she was deciding what to go to school, and she was talking about science, and she's a biochemist. And I said, hey, go science, because if you have a science degree, you can, you know, you can do just about anything. And because those skills you have to develop, they just translate all over the place. And
you're right. Yeah. And we're getting geared more and more and more to a technological society. So it's math, science, those are all, you know, the big STEM push. And I mean, it's good. So it's funny. I mean, I feel bad. Like I said, I feel bad about walking away sometimes. But boy, have I realized that it's translated into something successful for me here at
home.
So.
And something, it's something you enjoy and that fits your personality. But those skills you still use every single day.
And
in your family with all those engineers, holy smokes.
We just got called this morning. Jacob, my twin, who had started out in college and then came home, and now he's going to technical school, and it suits him much better. He's much more happier. But he just got called for a summer internship interview, and we were, you missed it, Gary. You should have been here online with me. I almost did a cartwheel in the kitchen. I was so happy for him, because he just has been kind of behind the eight ball here lately. And so it was just happy time. So I'm with a bunch of, you know, engineers and math type people. And so that's good. I'm glad I fit right in.
No, I was really excited when your son made that switch, because college isn't for 4-year schools are just not for everyone. But no. One of the magazines I edit, called Efficient Plant Magazine, that's one of our biggest issues, is mm-hmm. that skills gap and mm-hmm. and the trained workers. And it's so hard to find and develop skilled workers in areas such as your son has decided to go into. And mm-hmm. I mean, we do articles about it all the time. I do interviews, talk to people all the time. It's a huge, huge problem in manufacturing that doesn't get solved quickly. Mm-hmm. And when I talk to corporate managers, they say, oh, I wish we could get kids to go into these things, because there's so many of them that would do well that would struggle in a normal 4-year school or would just dislike it, you know.
Right.
But they get in, they get a skill, and we can, you know, and they'll say, and we can put them to work at a salary many times more than they would make with a 4-year degree.
Yep.
And they'll have a career right out of the gate.
Yep.
And can go right to work, make good money, and be employed and be valuable everywhere. And mm-hmm. so when I saw that he was doing that, I thought, oh, good, he'll have no trouble whatsoever.
Yeah, we're so it just was a great change. I was a little worried about him, not because of his ability. He has the abilities. It's just that he's one of those kids that he is comfortable, most comfortable with common known, you know what I mean? He likes to know what the schedule is. He likes home. And I was worried about it. And so when he approached us about wanting to change, I know he thought that we were going to like throw the book at him and say, no way, are you kidding us? And we were like, no, we agree. So we got it done, got it taken care of, got him home. And we were lucky that our little community college here, and I don't know if that's just a local Ivy Tech. I don't know if that's an Indiana thing or he's part of the nation. I don't know, but it's a community college technical school. And he got started within a week of coming home because they run 8-week classes.
Oh, okay.
So he's already had a successful 8 weeks and he's geared. That's where him and his daddy are right now. They're paying the tuition for the next 2 8-weeks. So, yeah, he's doing well. I'm really proud of him. And my other two college kids are doing great too. And they're home. All the Pfeiffers are home. I love it. Mama loves it when everybody's under the same roof.
They're all back.
They're all back. So.
And 5 days after Christmas, when are you guys leaving?
I am always ready to go back to kind of normal, you know, back to the old way. I mean, I love them here. I do love them here. It's just very gratifying to me to see them all, you know, spread their wings and fly, and they're all flying. And I'm like I said, I'm very blessed on that because they're all doing well.
Oh yeah. No, it's a terrific story. It's fun to watch it unfold. with you. It really is, because it really is. It's good to see those kids go find their own paths and do their own thing. And that young one of yours and her art talent, holy smokes.
She is. She's a good girl. That, I mean, she had to go to the dentist with us this morning. So she was trying to find every kind of excuse to delay going to school that she could. We went to Subway. We went to the post office. And finally, I said, listen, I've got a show to tape and you've got to get to school. So as we were driving, we dropped her off and we were waving at her. She was walking up the thing to go to school. And I said to Keith, I said, what is her, why did none of the other four ever drug their feet about going to school like she does? And Keith goes, she is just bored. And I think that's honestly, she's bored. And we've got her in the advanced learning, you know, she's in the, they call it ALPS. I don't even know, advanced learning and placement system or whatever. So she's already working, you know, above her 7th grade level.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else to do with her. We still do stuff with her, you know, because I kind of homeschool. All my kids went to the public school, but we've always kind of had homeschool stuff with them too here at home, and we still do that with her. So anyways, she's very, very bright, and thank goodness for her art, because she does that, like I said, she does that almost like 24/7 all the time. And she does it so much she has to wear braces on her arms at night because like carpal tunnel, so on both hands. So anyways, But I don't think that she'll go into college for that. I believe that she'll probably do engineering too, because she always says, I want to be an engineer with an art hobby. That's what she tells people. So,
all right.
We'll see.
All right. Yeah. Those kids that are bored like that. I had one, when I was teaching high school, and boy, I just, you know, the in the school setting in here, this is supposed to be about stitching, but too bad.
Yeah.
But in the school setting, you know, of course, the kids that struggle are the ones that get the most attention. And I had this young lady who was just, as a freshman, she belonged in college, is where she belonged. Mm-hmm. And I just did everything I could. I had her putting together labs, just anything I could. And she, you know, she'd stay after school, and her parents were as supportive as they could be. And after her freshman year, they finally sent her to the Math and Science Academy in Illinois, and then she flourished there. But yeah, I know what you mean. It's like, I just don't know what to do. I can't. And she loved science, and she wanted to learn more. And I could have put together a whole curriculum just for her,
right?
If I'd had the time. And yeah, it's a tough thing to do. And yeah, as parents, all you can do is provide the opportunities and hope.
Yeah, that's it. And I mean, I will say, there's been a couple of her teachers that have approached her and have said, we know that you're bored, and you let us know, you know, do you want to do stuff? So she does do extra stuff. And I really appreciate teachers that recognize that and, you know, try to push them more, because she needs to be pushed. She's much like her sister. You know, my boys are like, whatever, you know. But
well, they're boys.
Katie and Ellie are both very like type A, like, you know, I'm going to be the best of whatever I do. And so she, you know, she embraces that when teachers challenge her, ask her to be challenged. And this Science Olympiad thing that she's in, she's the first one of the kit four that have been in that. And she really enjoys that. So, so she's doing good. She does excellent. She's just right on track. Yep. What can I say?
Hey, well, she'll be fine. She has the parental support. She'll be fine.
You're right.
Yep. So, okay, there was a big proclamation back at the beginning of the year where you were going to try and find a balance between your finishing and your stitching and everything. I have a sense that kind of worked out or not.
It started out working out, and I was very good at it, you know, like telling people no. I just stink at telling people no, Gary. That's what it comes down to.
Well, I feel for you, because when you said that, I thought, oh, Vonna, you know, the demand is so high, and it's going to be hard to say no, and it's going to be hard to turn it off.
It was hard. And then, you know, you think that you're clicking right along, and oh yeah, you can get this done and this done and this done. And then you have a couple of not, you know, scheduled or unplanned catastrophes. And then, you know, that throws everything off schedule, and you get a couple of those, and it snowballs. And I had moved three kids to college, and I didn't expect all that. Then I had, you know, Augie had to have major surgery, and, you know, it just kind of all kind of fell apart there around June or July is when it started falling apart. And, since we got back from our June trip, our June vacation, I have worked 7 days a week, 12, I would say between 8 and 12 hours at least a day for, you know, since then. So for 6 months, basically. And, my husband finally said in October, how many do you have left? And I go, well, look at my write-off board. And it was still, you know, pretty full, because I kind of track my packages and names and deadlines and this and that on this write-on board. And he goes, next year, this better not be even close. He goes, because I'm kind of missing you. I don't see you.
Yeah. And yeah, you know, there's that part.
And, you know, it's weird for a lot of couples, I guess, or maybe not everybody. I don't know. But we spend every free moment we have together. We really do. And I was not down. You know, he'd get home from work and I'd be up there, because I did everything that I was supposed to do as a housewife and mother. But as soon as those, you know, cooking supper or cleaning or whatever was done, I was right back down in the basement. And so he came down and you know, I wasn't sitting with him. We would go on our walk in the evening, and then it would be like I'd go right back down to the basement, and I wouldn't come up until it was bedtime. And he finally said, you know, enough's enough with this. Why are you doing this to yourself, first of all? And it's, why am I? It's not like I'm getting rich on it because I'm not. It's just that it's, you know, finishing, good finishing takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
And I don't cut corners, and I try to do everything 100%, you know, hand done and up on the up and up, you know, and it just got to be a little overwhelming. So this next 2019,
this is it.
Going, yeah, I have already got, I went to Office Depot and I got one of those great big 6 month write on wipe off calendars. It's like huge. It's on my wall. I already have it filled out for the first 6 months of 2019. And I am not accepting packages right now. I have not, you know, everybody thinks that I'm on a break, right? They think that I'm not finishing. Ha, 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 ha. I am still finishing. I do not have any more deadline. No more Christmas. I got that done the week after Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
So I don't have any more Christmas finishing. I just have, these are all packages that have been received after my Christmas deadline, which was moved up 2 weeks. And let's talk about the fur and awful hate mail that I got for that, for moving it up 2 weeks. And, but I couldn't, I knew I should have really cut it off at the end of July. That's when I really should have cut it off, because those two, I moved it up from September 1st to the middle, I think August the 13th. And so I only moved it up 2 weeks. And whew, I was answering emails all the time.
Yeah.
And so anyways, I've got to do it different. And I realize I do. And there's other finishers out there, and they can have some of my work because I just have to be more cognizant of,
well,
me.
That's the thing, you know, it's not like you're complaining. You know, that you're happy to have the work. You're happy to do it. You enjoy doing it to a point.
I do.
But there has to be a balance. Like when we talked to Trish Burr here 3 or 4 weeks ago, you know, she's going through the same thing. She just has to dial it back, because at some point, like you said, your husband's missing you. You
know,
And there's a sanity level that you just have to find. And as much as you want to help everyone finish their pieces,
right,
they're just, you can't. You're one person.
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm one person, and my hands have suffered. My hands and wrists. My wrists they're bad.
Yeah, I was wondering about that too. Yeah.
Yeah, they're bad. I started wearing braces just to finish. I always have worn them on my hands when I sleep, but now I've had to start wearing them when I actually finish, because my right wrist is horrible, and so. As my work here has kind of tapered off a little bit, I've noticed a significant increase in it feeling better. So I know it's all, you know, work related. So
sure.
I just got to dial it back, and I'm really going to work hard on that. And I'm just going to be I know some people, when I say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that, they take that like a personal affront. Like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You're not going to help. You know what I mean?
Right,
and it's
sure.
not that, you know, and then it makes me feel bad. Then I start thinking, okay, well, if they would get it here, and I've got to quit thinking that way. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I can't help it. I'm a business. Yeah. I'm not, you know, I want to be everybody's friend, but I can't be everybody's friend and finish and make sure they get here at this deadline and that deadline. And, you know, I can do that for a significant number of people, but there's going to be those few that I just can't help. And I've got to realize that that's not a reflection on me, and I'm not being a bad person. I'm just being good to me. And I have not been good to Bonna. That's, my husband always says this to me. He says, you, in the detriment of your own help, will help everyone, except you never help yourself.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, you've got to learn that Bonna is worth helping too. So that's going to kind of be my mantra for 2019, that Bonna deserves to be helped too, and we'll see if it works. I don't know if it will or won't.
Well, that's just it, and that happens with any business that reaches some level of success. Is you reach that crossroads where I either control it, or I start hiring people. And
right,
because that's the only way that you'll find the sanity is one way or the other. And then once you start hiring people, that opens that whole gigantic can of worms of managing people and mm-hmm. And then then it becomes that. And
And I think that the majority of people that want me to finish, they want my hands on it. You know, because other people have said, oh, well, you could, you know, train people to work for you. Yeah, I maybe could, but they wouldn't do it to my standard. You know, what I hate to say it that way, but that's true. And I could get people here that I know that could finish just as well as I could finish. I could teach them to do so. But first of all, I don't want to be a business like that. You know what I mean? I don't want to be what you just said, a huge can of worms of having to manage people. And then I think that a large percentage of my clients want my hands on their pieces. I just think that's part of the attraction. And so I'm just going to keep it quaint and small and hopefully just dial it back just a little bit. I'm not going to dial it back huge, large, large strands of dial back. I'm just going to dial it back a little bit and try to schedule myself only 5 days a week and not 7 days a week or 6 days a week. I'm going to do 5 days and I'm going to have a weekend off or 2 days off whenever that may be in a 7 day period, like everybody else does. So we'll see. I hope it works.
Well, you're aware of it and you're trying and, but no, I can appreciate with this kind of work, you do want to help people out. And, you know, I just finished this for my, you know, my son, and can we get it done so I can give it to him for his birthday? Oh, sure. I'll help you out with that. Every story you want to help out. And, but then if you step back and step away from it, you go, oh geez, I'm killing myself here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I am. And are like, and I am just so empathetic. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I am.
Yeah.
I'm very empathetic. And people give me a story and I'll buy into it. Even if it's the big lie, I'll buy into it because I'm just naive that way. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I just want to believe everyone. I purely, truly do. And I really do want to help everybody, but I can't help everybody all the time. And I've got to learn that to the detriment, like I said, to the detriment of my own wrist health and mental health sometimes, because let's face it, I'm down in an unfinished basement. I mean, I've made it kind of as cutesy as what an unfinished basement can be, but I'm down there and it does have windows. Everybody always thinks when we talk about the cave and stuff that it has no windows. I live in Indiana in limestone country, so all of the basements are walkout basements.
Yeah.
They're not buried in the ground. So I do have windows and I do see light, people. It's not like I'm down in complete darkness 24/7. But
so you're not like a bat hanging from the ceiling.
No, but that's what, when I call it my cave, you know, people I think I meant it like as a woman cave, like a man has a man cave. I have my stitching and finishing cave. I'm really meant it as like a cave, like a bat cave, because I thought that was funny. You know, I'm in a basement and it's not very pretty and it's kind of dank and, you know, and I just always think, oh, this is my cave. And I'm in it like a real cave, but I think other people think I'm in it like a, oh, it's my leisure cave, my woman cave. It's not, that.
It's a workspace. Yeah.
It's a workspace in an unfinished basement.
Let's see. Now, if I piece the words together, a cutesy, dank basement. Okay. All right.
Kind of what it is. With you can still see there's no drop ceiling, so it's still the studs and joists. I still see that. I see all the bare wires, concrete walls. I mean, it's not, and I've kind of like hung posters and stuff on the concrete walls, and we're thinking about moving in the next couple of years, like, you know, leisurely looking for our place that will die. That's
really Oh, great. Way to go upbeat. All right.
And so my husband, we've been looking, we're kind of, you know, fixing a few things around painting, retaining things and stuff like that. And my husband said, I don't know when we have to move and get all this crap out of this place. And it's true. That's gonna. I kind of don't want to move just for that reason.
Yeah.
Anyway, my husband did say, and you got to love a guy that says this, next house, one of the primary things on his list for us to get in the next house is place for me to have my craft room upstairs. Can you believe that? That's nice.
Yeah, take that in a
Gotta
heartbeat, you
love it.
bet.
I will take it. Yeah, amen.
And speaking of your cave, I was wondering, I was talking to someone the other day about what you do when you're stitching. Does it is it what is your favorite, what is your kind of your go-to thing? Like mine, I have a space set up so that my stand is between me and the TV. So I can watch football, or shows. And when Margaret and I watch shows, then she gets the controls and I just stitch and she fast forwards through the commercials and all that stuff. And so I want, when we talked, I wanted, what is it that you have? What do you have to occupy that other side of the mind? Is it radio, TV? How do you do that?
Oh, well, when I cross stitch, it's the similar situation. I don't cross stitch in the cave. I purely just sew and finish in the cave. So where I have my space is in my husband and I have our bedroom is an en suite, and so it's larger, and we have a sitting area in our bedroom, and we have it set up with my stitching chair and his chair, and he's like Margaret. He has the remote control, and he is the master of ceremonies on
As
the television.
I say
So,
to Marga, you have the con.
yeah, that's right. So I just have a little corner. I am actually in the corner of our bedroom, and I have my whole little nest there. And I only really like stitching there. I find it hard to stitch anywhere else because I have it so tweaked to my personal preferences and everything that I need to stitch that when I go somewhere else, I'm kind of like lost. Like I don't even know how to begin almost. So, but yeah, I stitch primarily in my bedroom only.
Oh,
And
okay.
I listen to the television, and if he's not here, I listen to Audible a lot. I have an Audible account, so I listen to books. Or if I'm not doing that, I like music, and I just listen to. We have an Amazon Prime account with the unlimited music thing, and if you just put tell Alexa, Alexa, jazz music or Alexa 1980s music or whatever, she brings it up, and I just listen to whatever she plays. So that's what I
Okay.
do.
Yeah. No, I'm always curious what, because you got to have that other side of your brain occupied with something. And
Yeah.
so, yeah, I wonder, because for me, it's usually TV shows, but sometimes I'll do music, but usually it's murder and mayhem on the TV while I stitch something really delicate and,
Yeah. I also listen to, I find this interesting. Like if I'm upset or just don't want to listen, you know how you get to some places where you don't want to hear any or look or watch or just listen to anything. I listen to nature sounds.
Oh, okay.
Like streams, like I always say, Alexa, play. If I say it too loud, she'll start playing stuff. But I'll say, Alexa, play nature sounds, and she'll play. And so I listen to that. I like that. And except sometimes, if you have to go to the bathroom really bad, you have to. If you start listening to that, because running streams or something, that could be problematic. But I do listen to that too. So.
Yeah, see, that's biophilia in the one of the magazine, the other magazine for architects. We talk about that a lot, that connection with nature and the impact that it has on you. And they talk about in wherever your spaces are, and they do it in healthcare all the time, where there's the design so you can see nature in one way or another. But yeah, having those sounds does something to your body that helps you relax and just removes you from the day to day. And yeah, that's and I'd never thought of that stitching. I'm gonna have to try that. That might be fun.
I love it. I actually finished Nature Sounds too. And I love a good brainstorm. And Amazon has, like I said, Amazon Prime Music. They have a whole like station with ocean sound, nature sounds, and they'll have bird calls and stuff like that. But I really love like the wave crashing or thunderstorms. I listen to it a lot. And my husband always like, is it raining outside? Because
Yeah,
And he'll hear it, and I go, no, that's my nature sound.
And he walks away. My wife's crazy. She just nuts.
Yeah, he just shakes his head. He does that a lot.
I'm going to have to try that. Yeah, that might be. Yeah, that might. Because for us, we're complete empty nesters. And and I highly recommend it. Love the kids, but highly recommend the empty nesting. Because the silence.
Yeah.
It's the silence. Here. And
yeah,
oh, I tell you, there's very few things that beat it, in my opinion. So sometimes I'll stitch and there's nothing on. I'm fine with that.
Right.
But now I got to try the nature sounds. That's a good idea.
Yeah. It's honestly, I really do like, there is nothing that makes me feel more centered, I think, because you can also hear, you know, you just have it softly playing and you can also hear the sound of the thread through the linen, and there's nothing. I love that sound, and so you can hear that, and you can hear the nature sounds, and it's just really, that's like my zen. You know what I mean? I really love it.
Sure. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, got to try that. Yeah. Mistake I learned with Alexa is she can be something else, and one of the options is computer. So you can just say computer, do this or that. Don't do that one. Because if you do that one, every time the word computer is used on TV.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Uh-huh. Yeah. About 2 hours after I changed it, I changed it back. Yeah, that was not going to work. Yeah. Not going to work. Yeah. Yeah. And that's something you talk about. You have to be careful how loud you say it, or it'll activate her. I wonder what it is that they do on the TV ads that doesn't trigger it.
You know, I wonder that too, because she isn't triggered by because she isn't triggered by that. So I wonder about that too. But a funny story is that I had a recent hospital stay this fall, and one of the nurses was he was Romanian, of Romanian descent, and his name was Alexa. And I thought when he first introduced himself that it was Alexi, right?
Uh-huh.
And I said, Alexi? And he goes, no, Alexa. And I go, oh, okay. And so I wanted right away to say, Alexa, get me, and I didn't, because I thought he probably gets that all the time.
Right.
Well, anyways, one time they came in and they needed to do a draw lab or something. And I had to go to the bathroom, and I said, Alexa, would you help me go to the bathroom? I wish you could have seen his face. It was like, oh my gosh, I'd like to punch this person. And I said, I bet you get that a lot, don't you? And he goes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, and I'm really tired of it.
Yeah. And I don't find you amusing at all.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead and laugh. Not funny. Yeah.
I did laugh like a fool, and I know he thought that, he was just like, I mean, he laughed. He was a good sport about it, but you could tell that he had that.
Yeah.
He had that joke done to him one too many times.
Yep. Yep. Move along, lady. Move along.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. So what are you doing for your wrists? I mean, is it braces? Are you taking other steps? I have asked this in the last couple, in the last couple months, more than once, what people are doing. Cause I read time and time again, people who, I can only stitch so long because my shoulder hurts and it's, all that ergonomics. And of course for you, as much handwork as you do, you just need rest. But, do you take other steps?
Yes. Well, when I finish, I see a, I'm blessed that I have a friend that's a physical therapist. So she helps.
Okay.
Me.
All right. Work the system, Vonna. Work it.
I do work the system as much as I can. And so then the doctor gave me just wrists. And so, wrists. He gave me new wrists. No, he gave me wrists like these. Actually, I bought them. He goes, the ones that you can get that are like professionally molded to your hand.
Oh, okay.
You can get the same thing done just by buying these certain type of wrist guards in, online. I get them on Amazon, to be honest with you. And they come just in right and left ones. And so I sleep with a full arm one. I mean, they go up half my arm, so it completely immobilizes motion all night long.
Oh.
And on both, I do it on both wrists. Then when I finished during the day, he gave me like this. It's almost like an ace bandage, very, very tight, and my fingers stick out. And it's just enough support that I kind of have to think about moving my hand, wrist a certain way and not outside of a normal, range of motion. And it has helped quite a bit. And I try not to take any drugs. I'm really kind of like anti-drug. But if it hurts really, really bad, like if it's like really throbbing, I'll take Advil. But other than that, I'm trying to stay away from like a shot or anything like that. And so far, so good. But I think I'm very cognizant about how I stitch, how I do my hobbies. I'm very cognizant of what my body ergonomics are and range of motion in the chair. So I only stitch using either a lap stand or a floor stand. And I have everything right, cocooned all around me, right within reach. And I believe I can stitch for hours in my shoulder or nothing because I stitch two-handed. So both sides of my body are getting work the same amount. And it's not overtaxing or overstressing only one arm and one shoulder and one elbow. So I have been very cognizant of that for like probably, gosh, I got my first floor stand when Ellie was two, so 11 years. So I've been working on a floor stand for 11 years. And I don't even like to stitch in hand or holding a frame any longer. I have to have some sort of something to hold it because I notice very quickly that things start hurting if I stitch by holding a hoop or a frame or a Q snap or whatever as I stitch. So, and plus I don't stitch as quick. You stitch two-handed too, don't you,
Oh
Gary?
yeah. I can't, I really can't do it without a stand of some kind. I
Yeah.
can't deal with it.
Yeah, I can't either. And you stitch quicker. I mean, people don't realize you stitch a heck of a lot quicker when you stitch, but with both hands. So.
Yeah, and see, and I've always felt that, people say, well, I stitch in hand, and there are a lot of people that do it with a hoop or just hold the cloth, however they do it. And they say, a stand or a lap stand, I just couldn't do that. Or I tried it once and it didn't work. But to me, there's the speed, and I think you stitch better. I
I
think
think you do
you
too.
get better tension. But
I do too.
to me, there's that ergonomic thing. Is it's taking that pressure off of the arm that's holding the hoop. And I think you can relax your arms, both your arms, better if you're not holding on to the project.
Right, are your fingers, because I can stitch in hand doing the sewing method, just holding the linen between the two fingers. I can do that. And I stitched like that for a number of years. I taught myself how to do it, yada yada. And my fingers on the hand that was holding the linen were always like so. I know people are like, oh, you just hold it and just relax. I can't do that. It was always like I was like holding it really tight. And so my
Exactly.
hand,
Yep.
like my
Yes.
fingers would cramp,
Yep.
And so.
I don't know how they do it, because I have that same reaction. It's like pretty soon my shoulder and my hands are cramping, and it's like I can't do it. No.
Yeah, I can't do it either. And I admire people that can do it. And if that's your way and you've got it figured out, that's awesome for you. I just personally can't do it.
Right.
And I like my floor stand. I like my lap stand. I have, let's see, I'm looking at them. Four or five. I've got five different stands. Because, why not? Everybody needs five stands. Anyway.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. Yeah.
And I love all of them. I honestly do. I'll be honest with you. The floor stand, my only floor stand I have is Needlework System 4, and I would not have any other brand. I just it's my and the one that I have is the one that I bought when Ellie was 2 years old, and it has stood up beautifully. Anything that has ever failed on it, he has. I just write him and tell him this is broken or that's broken, and they send out a replacement piece because I believe that it has a lifetime guarantee on all the work. And it's just a really great stand. And then my favorite, and I also have that model in a lap stand, and I use that frequently too. But if I'm using a frame, roller frame, I have a roller frame lap stand. And I love that thing. I truly, truly do love that one because it just kind of fits over my lap like a seatbelt almost, kind of. And I can just go to town on that. So those are my three favorites are Needlework System 4 floor and lap stand, and then the Roll-A-Frame lap stand. I love that one. So anyways, we'll see. I but you know, I can't, I say those are my favorite, but really all of them. I like all of them, really.
Now, do we line the floor stands up in a row? Do we
Keith
do they
always
have their
goes,
own little closet? How does this
well,
work,
no. Okay,
Bob?
so I stitch in my bedroom, right? And we have a I have the
Your
lap
husband is
stand.
your husband is a walking living saint, I'm telling you.
He is. I always say that I married Angel Gabriel and he married Satan. That's what I always say. And it's true. But I have like a we have like an entertainment center. So one lap stand is long and skinny and it's wooden and it was made by a gentleman in the South, and it fits slides right between the wall and our entertainment center. So that's where that is. My roll of frame is behind my husband's recliner. Then my lap stand and my Needlework System 4 lap stand and my floor stand, it sits out with projects on it all the time.
Okay.
And then I have a little clamp one that's on my I think I wrote about this on my blog 2 or 3 years ago at Christmas time. Those computer roll around computer tables that
Yeah.
they make for lap stands. I have one that clamps on that table and it's just a hoop. And I put smalls in it. So I have a smalls going, a medium sized project, and a large project always loaded on something at all time. So those are my five lap stands, or my five stands that I have in my room. And it's always in my room.
I'm Vanna. I can walk into a room and grab something and stitch within 2 minutes.
That's right. I just sat down and see, and another little hint, I don't know if people do this, but okay, so at Hobby Lobby, they have those like framed pieces of galvanized metal that are, that you can like put magnets on and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
Okay, so I have a really large one that sits because I sit in a corner, so the wall is on my left hand side, and I have that mounted right by on the wall, right by my chair that I sit in, and I put all of my patterns that I'm currently stitching held with magnets on that framed galvanized piece of metal, and that way I have, like right now I'm up here in my bedroom, so I have four things going right now, and I have them 1, 2, 3, 4 magnet up there, so and all my projects are, like I said, are already loaded and around setting like a choir of needle stitch projects in front of my chair, and I just grab whatever I feel like that day, and I have my threads on one of those clippy round clippy things that are also can magnet onto the I put the threads on top of the project that go with that project right on top of the pattern, and I just grab my ring of threads and I start sewing
Yeah.
or stitching. So
But
that's my
isn't that really a key thing, I think, is I mean you're way over the top. But but to when you quit stitching, to leave things so that you can pick it up quickly when you come back.
Yes. If I didn't do that, I'm going to be honest with you. I'll come up and my husband always says, at least 1 hour of stitching a day, or you'll be a grouch. And so if I'm grouchy, he always goes, have you stitched today? So I leave it out like that because who want, if you're tired, if you're mentally tired, physically tired, emotionally tired, when you come to sit down, a lot of times my tendency, at least for me, is I'm just going to sit here and stare at the wall. I'm not going to do anything if I
Right.
have to drag it out.
Right.
And if it's all out sitting in front of me, it's almost like I feel guilty, like, oh gosh, I need to start stitching that. Look how pretty that's going to be when it gets done.
Yep.
So I leave it all out like just like that. So, and I came up with this system, oh, probably this year because I've been so busy and I just have it all out like that. And it's just very easy. The only problem with my system that I have is the little sleeves that the patterns come in. I'm always losing those, and it's because I have everything out magnet to my board. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I lose those, which, I mean, I guess that's not a major problem, but, you know, I'm a hoarder and I save everything because, you know, when I stitch a project and finish it, you know, I might stitch that, you know, 20 years from now. I got to save that pattern. So if
yeah, because they're not going to create any more designs between now and then. So, yeah, you want to hang on to that. Yeah,
that's right. So I kind of like lose it. I kind of, you know, I'm a little OCD, I guess. And so when I lose that sleeve, that kind of bothers me.
Oh.
So anyways, I have to come up with a better idea how to keep care, you know, keep track of my sleeves. But other than that, it's a really great, it's a really great system.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
No, I make it a regular practice when I'm going to be finished for the day, then I start the next thread.
Mm-hmm.
I always start. Yep. And bring it to the front. And bring it to the front. And then when I sit down, there's nothing to think about.
Right.
You know, it's sitting there on the front. Just finish that stitch and go.
And, oh, Gary, that's a really great idea. I'm going to start doing that.
Oh, my. Oh, okay. Glad I could
help.
That's
a great idea because it's already started and you just go.
Right. Right.
Oh, awesome.
Right.
That's awesome, Gary. That's really great.
Stole that from somebody in the, you know, distant past. But, yeah. Yeah, then you're ready to go. Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome because that's usually the biggest hurdle. It's just what are you going to start on? You know what I mean?
Right.
And if you have it one loaded up and ready to rip right there, that's an I'm going to start doing that. I'm stealing it.
Help yourself.
I'm going to call it the Gary move.
Okay. Well, I stole it from somebody and I owe them because I can't remember who it was. But yeah, I do. No matter what it is, I'll leave that. So there, when I leave, there's a thread laying on top of the project. Uh-huh. Needle on the needle minder, and all uh-huh. I got to do is pick it up and keep going.
That is an awesome idea. I'm stealing it.
Okay, go
that's
for it.
That's awesome. That's impressive. That's a really great. That's great. That's a great idea.
Big difference. I think it's a big difference.
It's a huge difference. Yep. It is. It's honestly a game changer because if you sit down, you know, I'm more likely to stitch when it's all out staring me in front because this is where we come. We don't set our – we have a beautiful home. I hardly ever sit in our living room because, you know, our kids kind of took it over when they were in – the three big ones were in high school and stuff. That's where they would congregate with their friends. And so, you know, every Friday and Saturday night it was usually filled with teenagers. And where do you go? They don't want me standing around. You know, they don't want their mom around. So we always start just coming up here to our bedroom.
Right.
And so now that we kind of have an empty house and nobody down in the living room, it's like, well, I don't want to sit down there. I've built my perfect nest right up here. So right. We come up here. So that is a great idea. I'm going to start doing that. That's even going to make it much easier to start right away when I sit down.
Yeah. Because the struggle I have is my stitching corner is right behind my recliner.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, we're recording this on Monday. So last night we had a choir Christmas concert at church, you know, and got home from that and mm-hmm. wanted to watch football. Okay. Mm-hmm. My normal Sunday thing is I'll sit and stitch and watch football.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat down in that recliner
mm-hmm.
and I started watching the football games
mm-hmm.
and I never got up.
Yep.
And the stitching's right behind me. And I kept saying to myself, now you were going to stitch. And mm-hmm. I have to, if I sit in that recliner, then it doesn't happen.
Right.
And so I have to tell myself, no, do not sit there. Go and sit there. And it doesn't mm-hmm. matter. It's not like one's less comfortable than the other.
Right.
But I sat down. And, oh, I'm going to get up at halftime. Mm-hmm. And I'll go stitch. And then mm-hmm. I got up and got something to drink. And then somehow the Afghan found its way back to the chair with me. And then the Sunday night game, I woke up when it ended. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I kicked myself because I could have had a chunk of stuff stitched for the same time and same and watched a football game either way or sleep through it, one or the other. But yeah, I have to, that's the one thing I have to discipline myself is don't sit in that recliner.
Right. See, I only have two choices. One, Keith's chair, which is a recliner, or my chair, which is not a recliner. I can't stitch in a recliner. I have to have a more upright. It's an overstuffed, oversized. It's a comfy chair, but it's not a recliner. It's like a, I don't know, a lady's chair, I guess. I don't know, but it's more upright. I like to sit upright, uh-huh. and I have an ottoman, and I have this little I have a big ottoman, and then I have like just this little thing that you put your feet on. Like if you don't want your feet on in the ottoman,
right,
your legs on the ottoman, it's just like a little one where it's up off the floor, not all the way down. And so I have that all, you know, and I wouldn't even want to sit in his recliner. I mean, it's nice. It's a nice recliner, but it sits so low. It's like, I feel like I have to roll into it and roll out of it. So I like a more like substantial, like upright type chair. That's just my personal preference, but that's what mine is. So I don't have any other choice because usually his butt is in his recliner. And plus mine, we have two windows in our bedroom and my chair is right by the windows. And I like to look out side when I'm stitching too. Sure. So
yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, and it worked out. Desk chair for me. Yeah. To stitch in. I can sit there all day long. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now it's interesting. It'd be fun one day if you could to just bounce around the country and get pictures of different people, you know, and people have put up, you know, this is my stitching setup, but pictures of them sitting there and seeing how they're set up. What's their nest like with them in it?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have that. People have done that. You ought to do that for one of your Facebook page or something. Do you have a Facebook page?
Yeah, we do.
Fiber Talk. Put a picture of your needle nest.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, I'll work on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as I get a second, I'll do that.
Yeah, I know. Get right on that, Gary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like somebody said the other day, I think I mentioned it, unsubscribed from our list. And I said, is there something, I always wonder. Well, I didn't want to get a bunch of spam. Oh, lady, really? Ain't going to happen here. I don't have time to breathe. It's not going to happen. To hunt down some spam to send to you? No, I'll take a nap first. Guaranteed.
Agreed. I agree with you.
Yeah, we're no threat there. Yeah. Yep. All right, Vonna. As always, a ton of fun. This will go up before Christmas, so we can say Merry Christmas. There we go.
Woohoo! Merry Christmas. Yeah.
To those who do the Christmas thing, Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Yes. Or whatever holiday it is. Yeah, that too. Yep. All right. A lot of fun. Enjoy your family over the holidays.
And thank you. You too, Gary.
And enjoy when they get in the car and go back to wherever they go.
That's right. I will. It makes me sad, but I will. And thank you again for having me. I love coming on here and talking to you. It's not even like we're doing it. It's just like we're having a conversation. And that's what I love so much. So thank you for doing everything that you do for the needlework industry, Gary. It's a huge thing that you do.
Thank you. Glad to do it. It's fun. All right. Thanks for listening, and Christine and I will be back on Wednesday.